Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone. We give God praise for today. He is a good God all the time, and all the time we shout, God is good. So we thank God for his presence on our Word Wednesday. Thank God he gave us another opportunity to come together over this Blog Talk Radio. And we thank God for the opportunity to grow in the Word of God. Getting greater understanding and revelation of God's Word is a wonderful, powerful thing. The world says knowledge is power, but the Bible says in all of your getting, get understanding. So we know that knowledge is power, and there's a certain degree of empowerment that we get as we study the Word of God. That's why he says to Joshua, meditate on that word day and night. Come on, somebody. He said the first psalm of the Bible, Psalm 1. If you meditate on that word day and night, you'll be like a tree planted. And I thank God for those of you that understand the seriousness and the urgency for getting into the Word of God. So let's go before God with prayer before we begin tonight's lesson. Father, we thank you today. And we came to praise your name. We came to honor you. We came to glorify you. God, we really want you to get the glory out of our lives. So as we get into this word, God, help us to walk circumspectly of the vocation and the call that you ordained before we came out of our mother's womb. We thank you, God, that we will fulfill our purpose, that our assignment will be completed. God, we're looking for a well done, and we thank you in advance for that well done in the name of Jesus. So be not weary. We don't want to be weary in well-doing. So, God, we need your strength. We need your love. We need your anointing to get even through these times in which we are living. So, God, bless this lesson tonight. Breathe on it. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Ghost. Thank you for Jesus the Christ looking down on us. And we give God the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, people of God. God is so awesome. He is so wonderful. In the name of Jesus, he's a good God, and he is so wonderful. He is a good God. Let's start off in Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Isaiah 55. Tonight I'm talking, God's been dealing with me, but this is a simple topic. Some say it's a cliche, but this is my topic for tonight. If God said it, I believe it.
Amen.
If God said it, I believe it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And the times in which we are living, when we start seeing things like we're living through COVID-19, the pandemic, what's going on with things happening in the nation, we need to understand that the prophetic is powerful. Prophecy is a powerful tool and a powerful weapon that God has given you and I. There are so many prophetic utterances that have already been fulfilled throughout the Word of God, especially the Old Testament prophets that prophesied, and they spoke foretelling and foretelling the future. And some things in which we're going through even now, we need to look at it through the lens of God, saying, yes, it's a pandemic. Yes, it's unfortunate. Some things are happening. But the Bible is true. The Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar.
Yeah.
So when God said it, we believe it. The other part is that settles it. But that's not my topic tonight. God said it and I believe it. That's going to be my focal point of the scriptures that I go to tonight, where God spoke. Or Jesus spoke, or we'll see in the Word of God, and it did happen just as he said. Just like here in Isaiah 55, he's talking about the Word, how the Word will be effective, how the Word will always work, how the Word of God will always do what God sends it to do. So in Isaiah 55, let's see what God says through the prophet Isaiah in verse number 8. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So who's saying this? God is saying this through the prophet. God is speaking through the prophet, and he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. I'm going to get back to that because we need to understand that we serve a God that we got to get in alignment with what he wants. Amen, somebody. I know what we want, and God will give us some desires of our heart. God will bless us. God will meet some of our needs. But it has to be in accordance to God's will and the will of God. That's why it's so important to live holy. It's so important to get into the Word of God. It's so important to pray and get into relationship with God to see what he's up to. Amen.
Yes.
And when we get into that flow, we have a blessed life. We have least resistance in our life. We have a better life than going opposite of what God is doing. And that's why he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. In verse 9, he says, for he gives an example, even a clearer example. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, we all can understand that, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He gives an analogy. He gives an example that we know heaven is way up there, and we're living on this earth way down here. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down, it just was raining today, and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God says, it's going to please me, this word that I sent. It's going to accomplish what I send it to do, because I, God, am, I'm going to get the glory. I'm going to use mankind. I'm going to, glory be to God, bless people, because that's me. I'm a blessing God, and I'm in the blessing business. Come on, to God be the glory. So I thank God that every scheduled blessing, my God, every scheduled blessing that God ordained for your life is still on schedule.
Amen.
I'm going to say that one more time. Somebody need to write it down. I'm going to write it down myself because it's in my notes. I need to write it again. If God purposed, if God ordained, if God sanctioned, if God already made up his mind to bless you, no one or nothing can do anything about it. There are scheduled blessings already on your radar. It's already on your itinerary. It's already scheduled by God, and it's coming on time. My God.
Yes.
He's an on-time God. And if God already decided to bless you, he's going to bless you. So the pandemic and trouble and problems and sometimes pain and discomfort, sickness and disease and disappointment and frustration, all these things are a part of life. But God has a way of offsetting. God has a way of giving us consolations. God has a way of giving us things that would not make the weight of that thing that's negative be so weighty in our lives. My God. So when God says something, we got to take it to heart. He's not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. But I'm going to look at a few of these that I just said. God said, the word that comes out of my mouth is like that rain that comes down and waters the earth. It gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. If you continue to sow to God,
yes,
you continue to practice this principle called reaping and sowing. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you continue to put seed in the ground, everything is in seed form. My God, glory to his name. And God dealt with me on that today. When I look sometimes at my own life, he said, you always had a seed of holiness within you. He said that's what people are facing right now, when sometimes you see them not living holy, or you see people who are getting there and they're not quite there. You see people who are progressing and they're getting some things right, but yet they're falling in certain areas. He says, son, they have that seed of holiness on the inside. It's blossoming, it's growing, it's getting stronger, it's germinating, it's getting bigger. Everything starts in seed form. And I had that seed, my God, I had that seed in me long before I began to live holy, long before God began to pull me into his will and pull me to become an under-shepherd.
Yeah.
I believe that God has put seeds of greatness on the inside of you as well.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Everything starts in seed form, and that seed is going to grow. That's why he said, when you sow, I'm going to continue to put money in your hand. I'm going to continue to put opportunities in your hand. I'm going to continue to let people bless you as you bless others. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Look at Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. If God said it, I believe it. He said some things here in Mark chapter number 10. Is also found in the Gospel of Matthew. But listen to what God says about sacrifice and leaving some things that we may call, you know, valuable, and we may call important, or we may call a necessity. Now, sometimes we misinterpret this scripture. God is not literally saying, you know, leave your family, walk out on your children, walk out on your spouse. That's not what he's saying here. I'm going to clarify as I read it. But God wants to be priority. That's it in a nutshell, people of God. That's what God is saying through these next few verses that I'm about to read. I need to be number one before the family, before the marriage, before the children, before the church, before your career. I'm God. I want to be priority so I can breathe and bless on all those other things that will make you happy and make you fulfilled. He is the one that make our marriages work. He is the one that continues to make our businesses grow.
Amen.
God is the one that can turn negative things that's going on in our family around.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. I want to start at verse number 24. Mark 10:24. And it says this, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Because some people, even in our day, some people really, I mean, the Bible talks about you can't serve money and God, you can't serve mammon and God, but some people have idolized money, and they put money before God. And God says through Jesus, how hard is it for that person to get into the kingdom of God? He goes on in verse 25 and says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. We remember the story of the rich young ruler. He didn't want to give up his money because he had great wealth, and he walked away sad. Jesus said, give your money to the poor and follow after me, and you will have eternal life. And the guy still kept his money, and he did not take Jesus' offer. That's the rich young ruler. But in verse number 26, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, these are Jesus' words. If God said it, we got to believe it. Sometimes we try to figure it out and reason it and logically think it through. That's why I went to that first scripture. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And it's important for us to try to get the mind of Christ. He says, with men, this is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. I don't know who that's for. Oh, my God. That's for somebody right there. You can close up the tent right there, knowing that whatever you're going through, if it looks impossible, he says with man it might be impossible, but with me That thing has already been made possible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I talked about last week, faith makes it possible. And now God is saying, with God, all things are possible. If you are a Christian, if you're born again, if you believe in God and the power of God, if you pray, if you fast, if you give, if you serve, if you love unconditionally, if you walk by faith and not by sight, you are doing your part, doing everything you can do to stand. Stand until after you do all that you know how to do. Now it's up to God. Come on here, somebody. Hallelujah. People don't understand. They will call us people of faith. Some people of the world will call us foolish or fools. Be walking by that faith stuff. That you're a dreamer. You got your mind in the sky somewhere. No, the devil is a liar. Hallelujah. I've not seen God work too many times with my faith. I've not seen, glory be to God, God turn situations around because Pastor and I have faith about that thing. I've not seen God do the impossible in my life, healing me from cancer. Come on, somebody, in the name of Jesus, keeping us in our home, even though threats of foreclosure came during the recession that we went through years ago. Glory be to God, where thousands and hundreds of people lost their homes in that recession. God kept a roof over our head. He did the impossible. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You lost your job, but you lived off of unemployment, and God made a way out of no way. Hallelujah. You had a great decrease in income when you got on that fixed income, but God made a way where there was no way. Hallelujah. That thing that you thought was a resource, no, God says, I am your source. That job was only a resource. And now you put your faith in Almighty God, and he stretched that dollar. Come on, somebody. He stretched that dollar. You kept tithing, and God did with the 90% what you couldn't do with 200%. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I'm talking tonight, and I want to stir up your faith that if God said it, stay in faith. If God said it in his word, believe to the very end. I said God can come when you're right at the skin of your teeth, when you're right at the deadline. God could show up at the last second. Oh, my God, my God. I said God can show up at the last minute. He's an on-time God.
Amen.
Yes, he is. He is an on-time God. So when God speaks, when we look at his word and his Bible, the Logos, written word of God, when Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, the Holy Spirit that teaches us all truth, he said in Isaiah 55, my word is not going to come back empty. And Jeremiah 1, he said he's watching over his word to perform it in our lives. He said, glory be to God, through all the gospels, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will outlast it all. Let's keep reading, because we want to see what he said here. Peter says in verse 28, then Peter begins to say unto him, Lord, we have left all and have followed you. Remember, Peter was, they were successful fishermen, Peter, James, and John. I think it was Matthew, or one of them was a tax collector. Nathaniel was a prestigious ruler in the synagogue. Judas was a prominent, I believe he was a prominent figure. They had such diversity, fishermen and prominent men out of the 12. But it was such a diverse group. And Peter, always the outspoken Peter, always, it never says, and James said, and John said, and Matthew said, and Luke said, it's Peter, and then Peter said, we left everything for you. Verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or his brothers or his sisters or even his father and his mother, his wife, or his children, his lands, for my sake, and the gospels. Look at what they gave it up for. for Jesus' purpose and his will, and the gospel to be spread throughout all of the world. Verse 30, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are last, many that are first shall be last, and the last first. That blesses my soul right there. That blesses my soul that I might be in a position now. Maybe it's lack. Maybe it's not the kind of wealth or the kind of income I want. I may be in a job that I'm not excited about. Maybe you're in a position where you want to live in a house and you're living in an apartment. Maybe, glory be to God, you want to move to a better neighborhood. Possibly you want to be married and right now you're single. Maybe you have sickness in your body and you want to be well. It doesn't matter. When he said the first shall be last and the last first, oh, my God, don't look at where you are in life right now. Look at what he said to you. Look at the promises of God. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. John chapter 10, hallelujah. I came, Jesus, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Glory be to God. God is so awesome. He said, you're going to get, if you gave up house, if you gave up stuff for me, if you gave up a career for me, he's not literally saying leave your wife and your children and your land, but he's saying put me first. Put me above those things. Put me above the things that you think are important and watch what I do with it. I'm going to give you houses. I'm going to give you a marriage. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to give you a family. I'm going to do things right now, but more than the right now, more than your lifetime now, life eternal is waiting for you. My God, I said eternal life is waiting for you. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father but by me. The first shall be last, and the last first.
Amen.
That is so sobering. That is so sobering. And people looking at you where you are right now, maybe you don't have, you know, the finest car, or maybe you're not, you know, living large and have a particular status or a particular position or a particular net worth. Maybe, glory be to God, you want to celebrate anniversaries in marriage and you're not even married yet, or you want to have children, or wherever you are and it looks like you're not fruitful or producing. God says, don't let none of that move you. If you do things for me, if with man it may be impossible, but with me all things are possible. Never look at where you are. Look at your God.
Amen.
My God. Because the enemy would try to get us to complain, get us to murmur. I'll never forget my wife, we had bills, our children were small, and she was going to a challenging job in those days. And she had to get herself prayed up just to go in there, just to go. And we got to understand, sometimes you go to a job you hate, you go to a boss that sometimes is not getting along with you because you know you have bills to pay, you have responsibilities, you have needs that need to be met, and you, not that you got to be a sacrifice, but you go in there, you buckle down and you buckle under, and you say, you know, I got to feed my family. I need to get my check. I need to just swallow my pride. I cannot walk off of this job. I just got to handle it. I know she don't like me. I know he don't like me. I know they're out to get me, but I'm going to press through all of that pressure, all of that resistance, all of that persecution, because I'm going to put my mind on God. And my wife used to do that in those days. She said, on my lunch break, I go into the Word, listen to David Ireland. I get Word in me. My God, who is God talking to? I get the Word up in me. And that's what you're doing tonight. You're getting the Word in you. If God said it, I believe it. So if something happens tomorrow, if something happens next week, if preventive bad news or something unexpected happens, no, I got the Word in me already. My God, I got the Word of God in me already, and I'm going to hold on to that Word. I'm going to hold on to that word like my life depended on it. God is speaking tonight, and we need to see sometimes. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Like I told you just now, that was a situation where my wife was dealing with a difficult person that she worked with. And sometimes it's not necessarily the devil. Sometimes it's people, and sometimes it's our own flesh, which is our biggest challenge. And Paul writes to the church of Ephesus in chapter 6, verse number 10. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse number 10. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. I think I'm going to go to chapter 1 and chapter 3 because I want to point something out. It's only 6 chapters, but how did we get here? How did Paul get to this statement? Finally, my brethren, in verse number 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to read that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. But I want you to understand that this is a Bible study, and our job is to try to get you and even myself to understand Scripture, to get exegete the Scripture and understand it and walk us through it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And I want to go back to chapter 1 and then chapter 3, chapter 5 and chapter 2. It's so much in Ephesians, but we get to chapter 6, verse number 10. Let's start there. And then I'm going to back up because I want you to see this in totality. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's why I need to go back because he says, finally, this is the last of the epistle. Put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the wickedness of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, he says in verse 16, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench. The first word was to withstand. Now he's saying you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There's that wicked one again, the wickedness that tries to destroy us. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He said, be strong in the Lord, number one, and in the power of his might. Do not try to do life by yourself. I tell you, the church is living and the church is well. I know we're not in our buildings. I know there are empty churches all over these United States of America, all over the world. We cannot go and we cannot gather. There's social distancing. I get it. But the church is fine because we are the church. It was never the building. It was never the pews. It was never the cross on the wall or the stained glass windows. It was never the PA system. It was never the choir up there singing. It was never the deacons marching in a certain way. It was never the doilies that we wore on our head. Come on, somebody. It was not the rituals and the ceremonial things that we do. I'm not disqualifying those things. I'm not belittling those things. I'm not saying those things are not significant. But we are the church. We are the called out ones. We are the ecclesia. We are the light of the world. And we are the salt of the earth. We are the ones who are sent. We are the ones God is using. My God, my God. That's why I have not been a rapture yet. The rapture is when the dead and the living go up to heaven and God deals with this wicked world. It has not happened yet. We're still a seed planted in the earth. That's why the second coming of Christ has not happened yet. That's why the end has not happened yet, because there is a remnant in the earth realm. We are occupying. We are praying. We are interceding. We are asking God, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. And God is honoring the prayers of the saints. Are you hearing God? He said, if my people who are called by my name, if they would humble themselves, if they would pray, if they would turn from wicked, sinful, evil ways, then I will heal the land. The day is 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is like a day. That's what Peter said. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promises. That's what I'm talking about tonight. If God said it, you can bless and assure it that it's going to happen. If God said it, I believe it. A judgment day is coming for all of us. I said a judgment day is coming one day for all of us. So we got to pray for souls. We got to win souls for the kingdom of God. And God is shaking the very foundation of his church. He has shaken the very foundation of doing church as usual. We can't go back and do church as usual. Hallelujah. God is saying, y'all got to do something different. Y'all got to start winning souls again. There's a great harvest out here. Hallelujah. You got to win souls. You got to tell your family about Christ. You got to tell your boyfriend about Christ. Tell your girlfriend about Christ. Tell your spouse about Christ. Tell your coworkers about Christ. I had a coworker today, and he know I'm a pastor. He know I'm a Christian, and his eyes have been bothering him for weeks. He can't even see out of them. They're so red and bloodshot, and he has dry eyes. And it's just a horrible condition. And he said, Tony, I've never been through this in my life, and I've had this condition in my eyes forever, and it's worse every day. Look at my eyes. He said, there's no more white around my eyeballs. And I said, Larry, I got to tell you, prayer works. Come on, somebody. I unashamedly told him, prayer works. He doesn't go to church. He went to Catholic school. He knew a little bit about the Bible, but I told him to pray. Hallelujah, unashamedly. And glory be to God, I'm there to work. I'm at FedEx to work. I'm not going to jeopardize my job trying to win them for Christ. But I told him unequivocally clear that prayer works. Come on, somebody. Praying in the name of Jesus. Praying. It works. It works. It works.
Yeah.
And that's what he was saying here. You got to dress for success. You have to dress for success. Put on that helmet of salvation. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Put those shoes of the gospel on. Put that sword in your hand. Come on, somebody. Put that loin of truth around your waist. Allow God to put that armor on you every day, every single day of your life. I would not leave my home without it. If you're going through a hostile job environment, a hostile work environment, I saw an accident as I came home.
Yeah.
Right there on Franklin. Very, very bad accident.
My God.
And, you know, it just happened. A cop car was there, and guess what? I just came through that way. And I know, to me, every time I see that, my wife know it, my daughter know it, I believe it. Just when I come past something like that, I think it's God divine timing that I was not at that place at that time.
Yeah.
Somebody need to hear God. I said, I came through there. I was on my way home, got some food for my family, and it was a huge accident, not blocks away from my house. And this is like just a wide open neighborhood. I still don't know how that accident happened the way it did. But I missed it, and it missed me.
Oh!
I said I missed it, and it missed me. Come on, Pastor. To God be the glory.
I said it missed, I missed it and it missed me.
Yeah.
And somebody can relate to what I'm saying. You walk past a major pileup. You, glory be to God, hallelujah. You thought you were running late for work, but God was sparing you from something. My God, my God. You thought you were just late because of the weather, but God was, oh my God, God was delaying you on purpose. In the name of Jesus, we need to know God work in mysterious ways. His ways are higher. God works in mysterious ways. And when we get to heaven, I said it on a prayer line a few weeks ago, we're going to see just how much he spared us from.
Amen.
Just how much he spared us from. My God, my God. Sometimes we wonder why we didn't get that job, why we did not get accepted in that school, why we didn't get, you know, what we wanted, why he don't like me, why she don't like me, why they rejected me. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be like, oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that boy not wanting me. Thank you for that girl not wanting me. Thank you for that crowd not accepting me. Thank you for not me allowing me to have that kind of fun. Lord, I thank you that that particular set rejected me. God, I give you praise.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I'll never forget a story. Pastor Jamal Bryant told a story. He was coming home. I'm going to say this real quick. He was coming home for Thanksgiving, didn't have a car. And somebody came to their campus. He went to Howard University, came to their campus, picked a bunch of guys up, and took them home. And the guy that was driving the car said, I don't want him to get in my car, talking about Pastor Jamal Bryant. And they left him behind. He felt so bad that they rejected him. He needed to ride back to Baltimore. And he said that particular group of men got into a serious accident, and two of them lost their lives. And he said God spared him. He's still preaching the gospel today, but he was mad at the guy. He said the guy looked like some kind of drug dealer or something, but did not want him to get in the car. And sometimes the spirit that's on you, the anointing that's on your life, sometimes people see the God in you, and they be like, no. They're not rolling. They're not coming. And I thank God, you know, I told a story about my best friend that I wanted the things of God, and he didn't. And I thank God that I chose Jesus. Come on.
Amen.
I thank God because my life, I tell you, he gave me a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife, a beautiful life, gave me a good job, gave me health, allowed me to live and outlive cancer. Come on.
Come on, God.
Every time I say it, y'all don't know. I said 5 years ago, every time I said I want to run. Do you know 5 years later I still want to run? See, when God do something major and you have a major testimony, and I know I don't have the only one. Yes, I'm the one talking tonight, but I know I'm not the only one that got a major testimony of what God has done. You thought that was a minor surgery, and maybe it was a major surgery, but you know how many people did not come out the same way after that particular surgery? And God spared you and God spared me. God is saying to the people of God today, Psalm 91 is real. If you dwell, if you stay, if you live and make me your habitation, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to prosper you. I will provide for you. Let's look at some more scriptures tonight. Let's go to, this is good here. My God, time is getting away from me. Let's go to, I want to go in another direction here. Matthew 24, because I want to kind of stay on topic. If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, I believe it. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the end of the age, the end of the times. And Matthew 24, he gives his disciples, because they're learning, just like we are learning tonight. They asked Jesus a lot of questions because they didn't know. And they had all these, you know, questions that they asked him while he was still alive and walking the earth with them. And this one, I tell you, even after we get off the air tonight, I would really suggest to you to read the entire chapter of Matthew chapter 24. If you are a Christian, read Matthew chapter 24. And matter of fact, go over to chapter 25 as well, where he talks about, I never knew you depart from me. I want you to feed the widow. I want you to care about the orphan. I want you to care about those who are hungry, those who are in prison. Because when you do it for the least of these, you've done it for me. That's in chapter 25. But in chapter 24, Jesus said, no man knows the hour but God. No man knows the time but God. I'm not going to read that part, but when you read it, it will give you an idea of the end of the age, the idea of Armageddon, the idea of the end times, how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. But here, in the NIV, they call it birthing pains. Like when that woman is about to have a baby, she starts to have contractions. She starts to dilate, and things begin to happen. Her water breaks. Those are the beginning of birthing pains, but that baby is coming soon. Nothing's going to stop that baby from coming. And that's what Jesus is saying here. When you start to see these things, things are going to happen, just like that woman is going to deliver that baby, and nothing's going to stop it. When you start to see these things happening, the end of the age is near. Amen? In Matthew chapter 24, I'm just going to read verse 1 to 5 to make my point tonight. If God said it, I believe it. Look at Matthew 24, verse number 1, and it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He was in the church. He was in the church building, and now he's leaving the church building, the temple they called it back then, the synagogue, the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. They were impressed with the way these synagogues and these buildings and these temples were built. They were massive. They were beautifully designed, great architect, great designs, great, wonderful buildings to look at. They were huge. They were massive. Back in that day, the temples were really something beautiful. But Jesus is leaving it, and they're impressed with it. They're moving, and they're trying to show Jesus these beautiful, beautiful sights. Look at verse number 2, how Jesus responds. Jesus is not impressed. It's not that he was, you know, making them feel belittled or making them feel like they didn't know what they were talking about or making them feel like fools. That wasn't his point. This was a teaching moment for Jesus. He says in verse number 2, and Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? He's telling them, look at all the stuff you're telling me to look at. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus said, God, I'm about to lose my power. To God be the glory. Jesus said to them, it's coming a day where these temples will not be standing. These beautiful, massive temples will not be standing. One stone on top of another, it will not last. And look at verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? I'm going to read verse 3 again. Jesus said, I'm going to read verse 3 again because this is so important. You remember that the Canby guy, I forgot what year it was. Canby was saying how Jesus was coming back in 2005 or 2010. I forgot when it was. But people were selling their houses and people were leaving their jobs and doing all kinds of craziness. And that's why I want you to read the entire chapter of Matthew 24. No man knows the hour, but so many people believe in that particular man at that particular time. And the lesson tonight, when I said, if God said it, I believe it. If Jesus said it, I believe it. Because we need to understand that even during this pandemic and as we move into the future, they're saying it may go into 2021, the pandemic and the cure for this COVID-19, that people are going to start talking. Even from the church, people are going to start talking about judgment. And they're going to start talking about prophecy about the end of the age and the end times. And people are going to try to get followers after them. And, You know, all that is in this Matthew 24. But they said, I'm not going to read the whole verse 3, but in verse 3, but they said, what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed. He said, stay sharp, stay alert. I'm warning you. Take heed that no man deceive you. And that's why I pointed out, I forgot his name, but that's why I pointed him out. He deceived many people in that day. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many, he didn't say a few, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. You know, the devil is a liar.
Amen.
He really is. And he's the father of lies. And sometimes, you know, I lived a lie. I, like some of you, have lived a lie that, you know, growing up in North, you know, we had this mindset and we had this image and we didn't see a lot of people being totally successful. We saw people living, you know, kind of a normal life, a lower middle class, or sometimes a life of poverty. And sometimes when you grow up in those kind of situations, you think that's your reality. And then you get the word, you get the light, you get the gospel. That's why Jesus said, I came to preach to the poor. You don't have to stay poor. You don't have to stay in poverty. You don't have to stay sick if you get this gospel message. And this is why I don't want to get into it tonight, but we need to, you know, be clear. When we see that we have virtue churches now, we see that God has forced us as pastors to preach over the internet. God has taken us pastors and us under-shepherds, preaching the gospel out of the buildings. He said this gospel must go into all of the world first. So when we understand the Bible and we look at this thing called technology and internet highway, and we see technology, that now the gospel can go into all of the world. Even if they don't have a laptop or a cell phone in those remote areas, guess what? The gospel is slowly but surely getting to every inch of this world. Yeah. And even as we preach over the internet now, we reach more people. And that's what the purpose of the gospel is. It's not about us filling up church buildings, but it's about us reaching the masses. And God has forced the pastors to get out and preach now. I can't wait to get back into the building now because I love church. And I want to hug on some of y'all, and I want to see some of y'all face to face. But I need to tap into what God is doing, and you need to tap into what God is doing. And he's teaching his disciples a very valuable lesson here, that many will be deceived.
Yeah.
Many. I want to read a little further, but I'm going to skip down to verse 10. I'm going to skip down to verse 10 because, you know, this verse is pulling on me now. I wanted you to just read it by yourself, but it's pulling on me. Because if God said it, we got to believe it. And he's telling me to stay here a little longer. He says in verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of the iniquity shall abound. Now look what happened to the love. The love of many shall wax cold. In other words, some people that's walking in love right now may turn. There's some people that understand the importance of love and God is love and trying to love on people. But if they're not careful because of false prophets, false people, false apostles, lies in the earth realm, if we're not careful, we can be so hurt by people and so offended by people that it makes us bitter. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know, sometimes I have seen Christians be offended with the smallest things. And I'm like, wow, how could that offend you? Sometimes as preachers, we preach something, and people have gotten offended. Some people have left the church because you preached And you didn't mean any harm, but it came out, and they literally left the church with all the good and with all the right preaching. That one word or that one context or that one statement, the enemy used that. The enemy used that one thing. With all these things that you did right, but the enemy used that one thing and turned it into a mountain in that person's life. And instead of staying in the spirit, sometimes people have gotten into the flesh and got offended and have missed God. Pastor and I, we as pastors, yeah, you gotta have thick skin. You gotta love unconditionally. You have to be there. You have to shepherd. You have to do what God is calling you to do. But sometimes these shoes are not easy that we walk in. Come on, if I can just be honest. I mean, sometimes we make it look easy. We make it look bearable. We make it because we keep moving in spite of what happens sometimes to us, in spite of the hurt, in spite of the disappointment, in spite of the misunderstanding. We have to keep going in God's direction. But guess what? We are human, and sometimes people don't know what they've done. But if God said it, I believe it. I stay there.
Amen.
Because God says, if you continue to, I'm going to close out there. Galatians chapter number six. And for those of you who sow seeds of love, you sow seeds of kindness. You've been hurt by people. You've been misunderstood by people. People have hurt you intentionally. People have used you because, you know, you gave some people money or you gave them a favor or you co-signed for somebody or you referred someone or you let them use you as a reference. Whatever it was that they took advantage of you or they thought they took advantage of you. God says here in Galatians chapter number 6, because people take kindness for weakness, and they don't even know. My God. Ah, man. I read today. I don't know where it is. Oh, I didn't read it. Lenore Artis, she's a friend of Pastor Rebecca, powerful woman of God. And she said, keep sowing, even though you're hurt, keep sowing love and keep sowing kindness. I read something on Facebook she posted today because she said you're going to reap it at the right time, and you're going to reap it more when you need it. I forgot, I'm misquoting. I'm messing it all up. But in other words, she was saying, if you keep sowing love, you keep sowing kindness, you keep sowing goodness, it's going to come back to you.
Yeah.
And it's going to come back to you when you really need it the most.
Amen.
That's what her post was saying overall. But Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, it's going to be our last scripture tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Again, our topic of discussion tonight, if God said it, I believe it. And he talks about reaping and sowing right here. It's called the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity. In other words, you reap what you sow and you sow what you reap. It's not karma. They call it karma in other religions, and other sects. Oh, karma's going to happen. And I get it. You know, we're in new age and people come up with new philosophies. And sometimes the world has never read the book of Galatians, but the Bible had it first. Come on, somebody. They're calling it karma now, like what you put out is going to come back to you. If you put out negative energy is coming back. If you put out positive is coming back. If you put out love, love is coming back. If you put out violence, you're going to get violence back. That's the law. They call it the law of attraction, but we call it the law of reciprocity. And it's here in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. It says, be not deceived. There's that word again, deceived. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples. Don't let nobody... You know, I know I didn't go to it in Galatians when I was over there. I mean, what book was I in? Yeah, Galatians. I said I'm going to go back to it, chapter 1 and chapter 3, because I forgot what book I was in. Yeah, I'm in Galatians now.
Right.
Glory to God. I forgot. I was in Ephesians. And I'm getting all mixed up now. Let me just, in other words, Paul was saying, who bewitched you? Who tricked you? If somebody bring another gospel, don't let nobody deceive you. It was Ephesians. That's what he was saying. But I'm gonna close out here in Galatians chapter number 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows of the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I mean, we really need, we need each other so, you know, that's why I love the prayer line. We need each other so mightily to stay in this thing called faith. The disciples were in that upper room. Guess what? They were encouraging one another. Jesus sent them out two by two so they can encourage one another. And sometimes the body of Christ, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because God know the kind of world we would live in, that the saints got to encourage one another. We have to be there for each other,
yes,
to remind each other of the Lord, to remind each other that everything, like Pastor preached on Sunday, everything is really going to be all right, to remind us each other that we need to stay in Christ and stay in the things of God. He says, if you sow to your spirit, if you feed your spirit, if you continue to give to your spirit, if you value your spiritual person, your spiritual person is going to bless you. But if you're like the world who wants to satisfy their flesh, you know, they want to go and satisfy their flesh. They want to drink and get high and do all this kind of stuff. They're feeding the flesh. And he said the flesh is wicked. The flesh is evil. The flesh does not want to please God. But when we feed the spirit, when we take care of the spirit will take care of us. And then he says, in due season, just like that pregnant woman has a due date, I'm here to tell you, beloved, if you hang on to God, blessings, that's what I talked at the outset, scheduled blessings, they're coming your way.
Amen.
I said a miracle is on the way for you. The best is coming to you and your family. Better days is right there for your taking. That's why he said, as we have opportunity, let's treat one another good,
yeah,
and let's be good to all men.
Yes.
Father, I thank you today, and I praise you.
Hallelujah.
I give you praise for this word that if you said it, God, we got to stand on and believe it. It may not be popular with the world. The world may laugh at us. They may mock us. They may call us crazy and fools for Christ. But God, if you said it, we have to believe it. So I thank you for the listeners tonight. I thank you for the people tonight that understand the seriousness and the urgency of not just reading the word, but believing the word. So God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I love all of you. Please continue to sow into new creation. We are a great church. We are a good church.
Yes.
And we're doing a great work for God. Our cash app is $NCCMChurch. No amount is too small. No amount is too large. We're doing the work of the Lord. And I thank God for you in advance who give. All of you who are tied us to this great church. All of you who sow on a regular basis. Pastor Rebecca and myself, we love you and we thank God for you. Without you, we cannot be a church. Without you, we cannot do the things that we are doing. So we give God praise for new creation members.
Yes.
And if you're not a new creation member, we give God praise for you.
Yes.
Just for tuning in. because God has a blessing with your name on it. Amen. Good night, everyone. We love you. We will see you at 12:30 on Sunday. There is a great word for the Lord for you and your family. 12:30, we will be on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. Have a blessed evening and a blessed rest of the week. Love you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless.
Praise God. Powerful.